really going down in the South. You weren't expecting that. I know you weren't expecting that. I hit that note on your head, Pat. You weren't expecting that. Hey, man, welcome back to another episode of the Freedom Train Podcast Series. I am your host, Joseph Ward, and as always, riding with me is my good homie, Mr. Patrick Irvin. We're right here on the Freedom Train Network at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Hey, remember that the Freedom Train Podcast Series is brought to you by PAX, Inc., and PAX, Inc. is a Black development organization aimed at developing the Black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And go to my handy dandy screen, because if you look at the top when you pull up the website, www.pactsinc.org, pactsinc.org. Across the top, you see the tabs. It says the code, which gives you the code of conduct that PAX Inc. created to help the black community work more as a concise unit. Like Big Mama said, what was that? What was the movie?
I don't know. Big Mama
song? About the Sunday dinner.
Sunday dinner?
I don't know, but she said, yeah, there you go, soul food. Yeah, I'm tripping. Yeah, she said, operating as individual fingers, you ain't talking about nothing, but if you make a fist, you can strike a mighty blow. And that's what the codes of conduct to help Black community do, come together like a fist and strike a mighty blow to the face of racism. You can go to the About tab and learn more about PAX, Inc. You can become a member. You can donate to the organization. You can get involved in the initiatives that they have. There's a learning center tab, which is one of my favorite parts. And if you hover your mouse over that learning center, drop down boxes to come down with resources that you can use to help enhance your education, enhance your survival skills, enhance anything you need. So www.pactsinc.org. Don't forget to scroll down a little bit. They have an Amazon Smile program. Go to Amazon. Register for the Amazon Smile program. The organization you would pick will be PAX Inc. And then from there on out, every time you go to Amazon, you will register through the, well, you'll log in and then you will log in through the Amazon Smile program. Bam. Go ahead and buy your regular items like you would normally buy your items. Bam. And part of your purchase will go to PAX Inc. to help PAX Inc. So make sure you do that. www.pactsinc.org. Make sure you go to our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com, where we have the best podcasting in the world for you. Five of the greatest podcasts, maybe six podcasts. I can't count right now. But of course, you know, every Wednesday, check out this Freedom Train podcast series. Every Monday, check out the Fix Sports podcast. Every Tuesday, Lessons from the Screen. Every Wednesday, Shelby's World Plus. Freedom Train podcast series. Every Thursday, Lessons from the Screen. Every Friday, Lessons from the Screen. Enigma September is dropping, which day is Mondays. And On the Shows of Giants is on Saturdays. So make sure.
The book club.
Yeah, book Freedom Train. Tell them about that. Tell them about the Freedom Train book club, man.
So the Freedom Train Book Club is also going to be sponsored by PAX Inc. because all of the books we read and is on the website. But that's going to be on Sundays. And basically, we're going to be going through books and we're going to be reading them. Not going through them at all. We're just going to be reading books. That's it. Like the whole podcast is going to be broken down. Every episode is going to be a new section of the book. So if you see a book, you know, on the website that you thought was interesting or whatever. The first book we're going to read is the narrative of Henry Bibb, which is actually a very, very, very interesting story. If you guys hadn't checked it out, it talks about him and how he lived as a slave and got married and escaped to freedom and the whole situation with what happened with his wife. And it's very detailed, very graphic.
Right,
it's
right.
A wonderful, wonderful, wonderful story. That's going to be the first book we've read. So, and if you haven't read A Slave Narrative before, it's a wonderful one to start on, because this thing about slave narratives is they're not like most people that haven't read them think they are. Like, they not all doom and gloom and sorrow and blah. Nah, like, those are some really, really, really interesting narratives. And it really gives you a good and accurate idea of what those people went through. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right, right. Nah, I'm with you. I'm with you. Those are some, like you said, those are some things people actually got to get into and read and see it for themselves instead of just taking secondhand stories, because people... Sometimes they be taking them shits from other people who heard about. So
right.
Check it out. www.freedomtrainradio.com is the website. Check us out. The greatest podcasting in the world. So we have been breaking down Ice Cube's contract with Black America.
Right.
But part of this show today, we're going to dedicate to looking over the factors, the pros and cons of, is it even worth continuing to break down Ice Cube's contract for Black America? And I ask those questions because, one, Joe Biden has won the presidency and Ice Cube wasn't able to build rapport thus far with the Biden administration. Two, it seemed like the Black community, like, fuck you, Ice Cube. Three, Joe Biden has his own plan.
Yes,
in addition, and that's in addition to them not having a sit down to build a rapport, Joe Biden has his own plan. And four, what's the fourth? Is there a fourth? Does it need to be a fourth?
Probably not.
Okay. So, because like I say, looks like Joe Biden gonna be our president.
Yeah.
Right. Now there are a lot of people who are saying that the Democrats cheated. There's a lot of people who don't believe that Joe Biden is actually going to be able to take the presidency because he allegedly cheated and all these things going to Supreme Court. People are going to be going to overturn things. Let's just deal with that real quick, because that's going to affect the contract with Black America. So help. I know we talked about this on the phone the other day, but what have you heard surrounding the Joe Biden administration cheating or, getting extra votes counted for them to help win some of them states that they won?
So I want to start by saying that if you do have questions about the election, I answer six of the most frequently asked questions to me on the show yesterday. So, well, we recorded it Monday, but we dropped it yesterday on Tuesday. So definitely go back and check out the latest episode of Lessons from the Screen. Six questions about Joe Biden and one question about COVID. But anyways, getting into this, look, people is making up all kinds of stories and all kinds of fairy tales about whatever. The fact of the matter is, Donald Trump is, and I repeat, the Trump administration is 0-10 right now in terms of their lawsuits. Yeah, they're losing. They batting 0-10 right now. And the fact of the matter is there's no credible evidence. There's nothing credible to suggest there was any sort of cheating going on. What's happening is Donald Trump is too stupid to understand how counting works and how voting works and how people work. You told your voters not to do mail-in ballots. You told them to go to the polls. So the Democrats, meanwhile, told their voters to do mail-in ballots to stay safe. So you were winning on Election Day. Listen to me, Trump. If you ever see this, listen to it. I know you probably already turned it off as soon as I called you stupid. But if you ever see this, or if any of your descendants ever see this, your granddad or great-granddad or whoever, when you tell people to go to the polls, you're going to have an edge at the polls. But when those other people who were told to do mail-in ballots, when their votes start getting counted, you're going to start losing. All right, that's how numbers work.
No, I'm not, Patrick. No, I'm not. You're a liar. Fake news. You're a liar.
Oh, but the fact of the matter is, no, there's no credible evidence that
okay
any sort of cheating occurred. And even the evidence that I did read that was could be considered somewhat credible is like the person was talking about an order of magnitude of hundreds of votes in a state where he lost by thousands.
Right.
It's not gonna matter even if all of those votes were overturned. You're still losing by thousands, bro.
Right. So you see this? You can see this picture.
Yeah.
This is what I was looking for. This is actually what I was looking for. And because when I saw this the other day, I was like, whoa. First of all, because it's Fun Plies, who his contributions to the black community were Busted Babies and Sweet Pussy Sad. Those have been his contributions to Black America so far. Busted Babies and Sweet Pussy Sad. So I was surprised he put this one up. But I was also surprised. The only person I was surprised I felt like shouldn't have been in here was Ice Cube.
Well, why is Waka Flocka on here? I agree with you. Ice Cube shouldn't be on there. But why is Waka Flocka on there?
To be honest, I have no idea. And I didn't have the desire to find out. to be honest. And then the white dude, I have no idea who the white dude is. And the little dude with the little 1990s afro in the back, I don't know who he is. But
I don't think that's a white dude. Because why would a white dude be on the Coon Squad? He might be like Hispanic or like super light.
But I think because he's a rapper. But also remember, this coming from Plies. So. And let's review Plies' contributions to Black America. Once again, it's Busted Babies and Sweet Pussy Set. And Sweet Pussy Set. So now, that's why I was looking for this, because I felt like, first of all, Ice Cube shouldn't be on this. But this is an example of how the black community feels about Cube right now. But I think, in my opinion, the disdain is unnecessary. The disdain is, it's a lot of things. I know people feel like, we saw Cube get played. We saw that. We did see Cube get played, but we didn't see Cube sell his community out. And this picture is indicating or, assuming or saying that Cube sold his community out. And I'm just trying to put the pieces together because I don't understand how Cube would have sold his community. I need help understanding that. Because
Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to say, we know he got played by both sides. Because the white lady from the Democrats, the white lady from the Republicans threw him out there like that.
Yes, she did.
And the Democrats presented him with a lose-lose situation at a time where they already saw he was in deep shit. So that was like, hey, come sit down at a meeting with me and a whole bunch of other rappers, with Kamala Harris and a bunch of other rappers, which is a losing situation. And if you don't show up, it's going to look like, well, see, Q don't want to rock with us. So they presented him with a lose-lose situation. Now, he got played by both sides, but what did he do wrong?
I don't think he did. To me, in terms of what he actually did, and we've talked about this before, what he actually did, I don't have a problem with it. Like, you know, he created a plan.
Right.
And he tried to get political buy-in for his plan. And he tried to get it from both sides.
Right.
The only problem I have with what happened was after the fallout. Like, instead of just owning it, he tried to play it to the left, tried to play it to the right. And the Democrats hit him over the head after the Republicans had used him. And they, you know, so there were some things about what he did that I would have changed in terms of I would have had him be opening. And we talked about this. Both of us agreed on it. Would have had him be, if I was advising him, I would have told him, if you're going to do this, you need to be upfront, open, honest, and public.
Anything you're doing with Trump now, you got to tell people first that you're doing this and explain to them why you're doing this, because you are going in representing Black America. So right. We deserve to know what the hell you're doing.
And the secondary issue there, and it's a big secondary, but it is a secondary issue because what you said, I agree, is the primary issue. But the secondary issue is the Trump administration has been known to use Negroes.
Steve Harvey, Jim Brown, right, Kanye.
Right, right, and throw them away. You do not want to be the latest in a long line of Negroes getting used and thrown away. And that's essentially what ended up happening. And it was very preventable. Very preventable if you had if he had better advisors. And I know he knows the disdain the black community has for Donald Trump. This should have been common sense for somebody in his circle to be like, look, Cube, if you're going to meet with Donald Trump, you need to talk to the black community first. You got to get some semblance of communal acceptance for what you're doing.
Right.
Where even, and we know everybody ain't going to agree, but you need to present your case to the community before you follow through with it.
Yeah. Now, I still don't get why people don't get that if you create a contract, you're going to have to contract with somebody. And you particularly going to have to contract with the party or the administration that's in power. Right?
I think people get that. I think what they're struggling with is, I think Cube lost a lot of credibility because of how it came out. I really think that's the issue with it.
Well, now, I agree with that people lost credibility, or Cube lost credibility because how it came out. But I do know that there are people who really don't understand, because people are like, well, why would he go talk to Donald Trump? What you mean, why? Like, yeah. did he not create a contract with Black America? Like, I literally had people like saying that they don't understand why Cube talked to Donald Trump.
Yeah, I think those are people that don't know what he was trying to do. They hadn't read the plan. They didn't understand the goals, and so they don't know why he would be trying to talk to Trump. I think those are people that might be ignorant, but you also have another group of people that just is like, Trump is untrustworthy. You can't take his word for nothing, so why go talk to him? And that's a valid argument, too.
So, in seeing that post float through social media, looking at comment, because I didn't really peruse all the comments, but looking at some of the comments, I saw like mixed reviews. Some like, yeah, all them coons, and some of them like, hey, not Cube. But it leads to the question of, is Ice Cube's contract with Black America done? Is it done? Because we know there's a large section of Black Americans and a large section of Democrats not fucking with Cube, because Cube
talked to Donald Trump.
He talked to Donald Trump. And well, some people mad that he had the contract, period. But for the majority of the people mad because he talked to Donald Trump. So
I mean, I was frustrated. I won't say I was mad. I was disturbed, but it wasn't just about Cube. It was about the fact that all of these celebrities are popping their heads up out of the sand with things that regular people have been doing for years.
Right.
And like, oh, look at me. Look, I did this. And
they're trying to look like pioneers or something.
Right, right. So, but that wasn't just with Cube. Like, I didn't, because what he tried to do is something that I don't necessarily have a problem with a bunch of different people doing, creating a plan and trying to execute it. I think we need as many different plans as we can. We need to get them. Now, they all need to be discussed within the community first, but I do think there is a lot of value in a lot of different plans. But as far as your question of, is it done? And I know you're going to give your take right after this, but I think so. I mean, I think that if we're being honest again, the Biden plan is more in-depth. It's a better plan, if you could label any of them plans for Black people. I mean, I know you're going to get into that. But the Black political, or the Black caucus, also has a plan.
Yeah.
And between the Biden plan and the caucus plan and a couple other plans that we know that they're looking at, they've got everything in Cube's plan already covered.
With action steps.
Right, right, right. So I don't see any room for Cube's plan in the Democratic platform, especially not given the way everything has kind of rolled out with the Trump administration playing Cube and then Cube trying to save himself by playing the Democrats and then the Democrats play Cube back. And I just don't see no good blood there.
Well, let me ask this. Would Cube's plan even be relevant if Trump was continuing as president with his platinum plan? Would Cube's plan even still be relevant then?
I don't think so, honestly, because I don't see Trump carrying out anything in that plan outside of the most superficial of superficial items. Even with the turning Juneteenth into a federal holiday, the president can't do that.
But why?
Right, and it's not meaningful, right? But it's one of them things where, like, we were kind of going over the plan because it was
relevant.
Yeah,
it was relevant at the time, and before the fallout, the plan was very relevant because it's something that could have been implemented to either help or hurt Black America.
Right.
But the fallout is, to me, what messed it up, because let's say Ice Cube never talked to the Democrats. I mean, he never talked to the Republicans. If he never talked to the Republicans, I think people would look at him different. I think people probably would look at him as a hero. I mean, they look at Stacey Abrams as a hero for getting people to register to vote. So I do think they would have looked at Cube as a hero for creating this plan that demands something for our vote.
Yeah, I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. I even think any other Republican president besides Donald Trump.
It's him.
Right. Any other scenario that doesn't involve Donald Trump, Cube comes out of this looking amazing.
You
could chalk that up, put a mark on his legacy.
But if let's just be real though, if he would have been partisan, which meaning if he would have only fucked with Democrats, he would still be viable, and his plan would still be viable, even though it may not be something that the Democrat Party use, but it would still be viable as of right now because people wouldn't look at it as, oh well, this Ice Cube shit, so we ain't fucking with it.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with you. If he would have had a sit down with the Democrats, any of them, this whole thing would have looked a lot different. Even if he had a sit down with the Democrats after he had to sit down with Trump, it would have looked different. Just being able to honestly say I sat down with both sides would have made it look different. You still would have had your people like, why the fuck
are you gonna sit with Trump? But see, once again, it's like we said when we was actually looking at the contract, who were these advisors? Who were these people that were on your team that helped you put it together and that was helping to helping with strategies? Or was there even a team? Because if you had advisors and other people who were like activism and fighting for Black people is what they do, and they advise this, don't fuck with them no more.
Well, I think he definitely need to stop taking advice from whoever he was taking advice from. And that's the same thing I said, even about Colin Kaepernick. A lot of these celebrities, I don't know who the resident expert for Black America is on the celebrity level. I'm tending to think that it's the same people because all of these celebrities keep doing the same thing and making the same mistakes in terms of meaningful progress being made.
Yeah,
but whoever this person or this group is that's advising all these celebrities on how to best help the Black community, they need to stop. And these celebrities need to stop listening to them.
Straight up. I mean, but we have such a celebrity-driven culture within Black America. It's Black people not going to stop listening to celebrities, even though over and over again, we are taking nowhere. We spun in circles. We're not going to stop following celebrities because we believe that we really, like some section of Black people really believe that one of these celebrities really going to lead us out of all of the detriment that we're in. And it's like, all right. So, I mean, but all right, so Black, so I do agree that Black America is pretty much done with Cube like that. Like, I think it's more people who done with him than people who are not. So Cube does have an audience. Cube have people who rocking with him, but for the majority of Black America, not, because the majority of Black America clearly rock with Democrats. And they feel like, hey man, you ain't rocking with our team. You talk to Donald Trump. I'm gonna say that for the next part. But Black people, I don't feel a lot of positive energy and I don't hear a lot of positive things coming out now about Cube and around Cube. Because like I say, if you got somebody like Plies calling him, putting him a part of this Coon Squad, and I didn't hear of any major backlash against Plies. Because I'm like, Plies?
Yeah.
Plies? Yeah. And then, because I'm going to be all right, what the hell has Plies ever done for Black folk, or ever said for Black folk, or ever taught Black folk, or anything? How has Plies ever stood up for Black folk in the face of real anything? What messages have Plies put out? Like it or not, even just like off the strength of Fuck the Police is greater than anything Plies has ever thought about. Just the political awareness around that, and we know Q was like the mastermind pen behind that.
Yeah, I don't see where Plies has any room to call anybody a coon, especially with his claim to fame is pretending to be something that he's not in any way, shape, form, or fashion, and promoting a destructive culture. So
you a goon.
Yeah. Like, he don't even talk like
right.
He don't even, like, you fake, bruh. Like,
don't make me go find that Jamie Foxx clip of him talking about Plies hiding in the bathroom in LA when them gangsters came to see how much of a goon he was.
I mean, look, Plies got exposed by Trick. And that ain't no disrespect to Trick.
Bruh.
But
Plies got exposed by Jamie Foxx, a singer, actor, comedian, exposed Plies. We ain't even got to go to Trick.
Yeah, because the only reason I bring up Trick is because we both from Tallahassee. And
right.
We both heard and seen and know about the stories of Trick getting his ass beat by dudes on FAMU campus.
But it's just
no slight to Trick, because
nah,
at least he was
fucking. Well, Trick or real, we know Trick, a real
Trick one. Right.
Trick a real one. Like, hell, just Trick, like, Trick has been more politically, 100 times, 1,000,000 times more politically aware than Plies. That was my only thing with this one that Plies put out is you, first of all. Like I say, Cube didn't do anything coonish.
No.
He didn't do no sellout shit, but for you, like, for real, Plies? For real? You? Come on, bro. Don't think you really a figure and you really doing something for Black people because you sitting on your social media giving us your opinion about stuff. All right, you feel the same way everybody else feel because you said it. That don't make you a leader or nothing like that. Like, come on, man. Like, stop that. But if you're gonna call somebody out, like, at least let it be some factual shit. Like, don't put Ice Cube in that picture with the rest of them cats.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Like, that's that bullshit.
Yeah, that's flaw. Like, and there ain't nothing factual or whatever about Cube being considered a coon. Cause he didn't do coon as shit. Like, even though he met with Donald Trump, the man y'all despise, he met with Donald Trump with genuine intentions to get something for Black people. And
for
you
that
can
vote.
Read the plan. You can read the plan, and there ain't no coon shit in the plan. Like, we can feel however we want to feel about certain aspects of it. There are certain aspects of it that I think are dangerous and damaging. But all in all, I think the intent of the plan is to progress black people. So if he took that up there to the White House, then you can't say that that was coon shit, you know.
It's not. It's not coon shit, man. It's because, you know, we'll be the first one to call the motherfucker out. Like, yeah. we don't give no shits. But come on, man, stop that. All right, so Black America pretty much like, yeah, for, well, there's a good number of Black Americans who like, IQ, we ain't rocking with you. All right, so Joe Biden looked like he gonna do it. So does Joe Biden's administration, after everything that has happened, and we're not talking, and this part, we're not even including his plan. So we're just talking about the administration, period.
All right.
Do the Joe Biden administration, are they fucking with Cube? Are they fucking with the contract with Black America? Are they signing the contract?
I don't think they are, but publicly, I think they just publicly don't acknowledge Cube at this point. If they do, it'll be on some just like political points for black people and, you know, maybe to gain a potential ally in upcoming political contests. But I don't see them doing anything meaningful with that contract with Black America. And even if somebody like a Kamala Harris signs it, or somebody like lower in the administration, or even if Joe Biden signs it, I don't see them acting on any of that stuff. Not outside the realms of what they've already decided to do. Like, if they signed it and was like, we're going to do this, this, and this, it's probably because it was already in the plans to do that, that, and that. Like, I don't see them doing anything, like, specifically because it's in the plan. I don't see that.
Yeah. I think the optics now are just so bad surrounding all of that is... Well, okay, the optics are bad, but I do think, I think Kamala may give him another chance. She could, she might give him another chance. I think, I do believe another opportunity for a meeting may happen. I think
it's going to happen. I agree with that.
But what are going to be the particulars? Because they can't. From what we saw, so they can't come the same way they came. You can't come with Snoop Dogg, DL Hughley, and the Animaniacs, or whoever else they had, trying to be a part of the meeting. They black. Racist. That's racist ass shit. I had to go back and think about it. Them three little, them was picking nannies. Ain't that a bitch? But they can't come at, but because I do agree with Q. That was some bullshit though, man. Like, I got a whole plan, and you come at me with DL Hughley, Snoop Dogg, and some other motherfuckers who just got ideas and opinions. I got a whole plan, but like I said, it was a lose-lose situation though. Like, so we set this particular meeting up with these people. So if you come to the meeting, we know DL Hughley and Cube gonna disagree. So we know that's gonna happen. You know, it's gonna have to be some moderation. Will real issues be discussed and taken into account? Cube said the last time he met with somebody from the administration that they talked for 45 minutes and they didn't even talk about the plan. I was like, well, you got to make sure that happens. But that comes from being his lack of political savviness.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's on him.
Yeah. But I don't know, man. I think they'll give him another chance, but like I said, I don't think they'll come at him the same way as far as that type of meeting. And they'll leave it at the eye. You don't show up this time, then, you know, it's on you, and that's going to make him look even worse. So,
go ahead.
Or they could set up an even worse lose-lose situation for him.
Well, I agree with you that it was a lose-lose, but I think he put himself in that position to be in a lose-lose situation.
Well, yeah, it was. Because, I mean, after you meet with Trump, after you say you met with Trump, we could, man, it's like it's 4th and 45. But I could rush one person. I ain't worried about you getting a first down. It's 4th and 45.
The other thing to that is, like, we don't know the details of his meeting with Trump, because it wasn't until later that we found out that he didn't actually meet with Donald Trump himself.
Right.
He met with other people in the Trump administration. So was that a one-on-one meeting? You know what I'm saying? Like, how did that meet? But I think one of the things that's going to help Cube is the narrative that's been painted. And I hate the narrative, but it's true. The narrative that black men are supporting Republicans.
Well, that's a bullshit narrative that need to be squashed and squashed now. Because if you're going to say that, the number of black women that support Trump doubled.
It did. The number of black people supporting Trump doubled. Black women and black men. And I think by virtue of there being more black women that voted than black men that voted, I think, I could be wrong on that. But I think one of the things I was looking at, and I got to go check it, actually showed that there was more black women that voted for Trump than black men in terms of raw numbers. But I got to check
that. And that lady, Pam Keith, I think we talked about the last show, Pam Keith put the tweet out. But yeah, that narrative needs to be destroyed now. There isn't a large percentage of black men that support Donald Trump. That's bullshit. If 80% of black men voted Democrat, last I checked, unless you know, I woke up this morning. So I don't know what happened between the time when I went to sleep and when I woke up, or I don't know what happened all these other nights when I was sleeping and I woke up. But last time I checked, 80 was greater than 20. You let me know, has that changed?
To my knowledge, it ain't changed. 80 is still the bigger number, as far as I know.
Now, the number of black men that voted for Trump did increase, but it wasn't as much of a significant increase as the number of black women that voted for Trump. And you can go look at the numbers.
Yeah, they both roughly doubled. But I think if you want to ask the question, why did so many black men vote for Donald Trump? I think that is a valid question. But if you want to ask the question, if you want to frame it in such a way, and that's my issue. My issue is with the framing of it. Why are black men supporting Donald Trump in so much larger numbers than they supported him last time? That narrative is broken.
Because we can ask that same question about black women.
Right, and that's why I say the narrative is broken, because if you're just going to ask that about black men and leave out the fact that black women doubled in their support of Donald Trump, then now you're painting a picture.
Right.
You're not trying to get at the truth. You're painting a picture. If anybody wanted to ask, why did Donald Trump gain so much support from black people as a whole, even that, I'm cool with that.
Like, that's a better question. That's a better question than trying to just single out black men and trying to make it seem like, well, Donald Trump had the success he had because so many black men, like, what?
Yeah, and it ain't just Pam, because I was on YouTube just last night. I started to share the picture of it with you, but I didn't want to send you back off. Trevor Noah made a little YouTube post from one of his guests with a caption talking about why so many more black men voted for Donald Trump. And the caption was basically, a lot of younger black men don't understand that they feel so safe and distanced from racism that they feel like they can vote for their class, not understanding that the class vote that they're making is centered in patriarchy and misogyny, essentially paraphrasing.
So did the young black men tell them that, or that was their assumption?
Well, it was this black lady, professor lady assumption. And my thing was, as far as I understood, it wasn't just the young black men. Like, young people don't vote, first off. Let's start there.
So what would a young, because I was having the discussion with this dude yesterday about young people voting, because the dude yesterday was like, it was an older black dude, and he was like, he believed Biden gonna help change the world for the better. And I was like, yeah, all right. But that's why I tell him, young people don't vote. He was like, because he's in the school of thought that the young people gonna change the world. And I'm like, how the young people gonna change the world when they've been trained by racists? Like people, they're like, I have some people who made the argument that because these racists now have to raise brown and black, like mixed race babies, that their hearts are changing. I'm like, so you think this is the first generation of racist grandparents who got to raise black babies? You think it's the first time this happening in America? Like white men been fucking black women and raping black women forever. And this the first time Buford got a black grandbaby? You really believe that? In the 400 years of America, you believe no white penis has touched black vaginas for hundreds of years until the 1900s? You crazy.
Yeah, it's been interesting because this was a record-setting election in general for everybody. Like, this was the largest voter turnout, I believe, in a long, long time. I believe this was a record-setting voter turnout. And that includes young people. But to the last that I looked, the vast majority of people under 30 voted Joe Biden. So why they singled out young black men in particular in that Trevor Noah post was very, very, very interesting to me. Now, some of the numbers I was looking at also showed that young black women were more likely to try to convince other people to vote, in particular trying to convince other people to vote Democratic. But this whole argument about young black men turning out, look, black men were only 5% of the vote. Like, let that sink in. We black men in total were 5% of the total vote. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got other things that we need to be talking about. Like, why were black men only 5% of the total vote? Black women were only 7% of the total vote. Like, we got other things we need to be talking about versus trying to vilify.
I think, and I could be wrong. I could be wrong. This could be my conspiracy theory side coming out. But remember a couple years ago when they were spinning the narrative around women saving Alabama?
We did a show on that.
Right. And they said 98% of black women voted for the Democratic candidate, Doug Jones, I believe that was his name. They said 98% mm-hmm. of black women voted, which was a truth within a lie within another lie. Because, no, for real, like, because, yeah, 98, they took that 98% and they manipulated it. Only 17% of black women voted in that particular election that got Doug Jones elected. Only 17% of black women voted. 15 of that 17% voted for Doug Jones. So 15% of 17% is 98%. Mm-hmm. But it was only a total of 15% black women who voted for the Democratic candidate. So that could have been a foundation to be set up to say, all right, in the future, well, we know, look at all these elections that black women keeps winning for the Democrats. And look at how black men not supporting black women and making sure these Democrats win, as if it's the black community's job to get the Democrats vote. See, because people got that fucked up. Fuck these. And that's one thing that the Democratic Party can suck my dick about, is it's not our job to put these white people in office. That's not our obligation. Y'all can go to hell with that now. No.
I agree with that. But I think, to me, and this is the conspiracy theorist in me, there's been a long and concerted effort, a long distance, far back reaching and concerted effort to turn black men and women against each other. Yep. The voting thing comes out. And even I made a post about it on social media, and a young black lady chimed in and was like, I still feel some type of way that even 18% of black men voted for Donald Trump. And I was kind of like, you shouldn't feel some type of way. One, you know, like, they're entitled to vote how they want to vote.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, you're totally ignoring the other roughly 80% of black men that voted in the way that you wanted them to vote, and you're focusing in on the 18%. And let's not forget, there have always been these pockets of people that are going to do what they want to do.
All right. So I wonder, you should have asked them, well, how do you feel about the 8% of black women that voted?
You already know that.
Because we have no shit going to make an excuse for that. Because
I didn't even go ahead.
We're keeping it real, right? We being real. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, and it's not all black women. It may not even be a majority of black women. But there are some black women who, no matter how fucked up some shit some black women do, they always gonna make excuses for it and try to blame somebody else for it. And that's that bullshit. Like, don't that if you think that 20% of black men ain't shit for voting for Donald Trump, then that 8% of black women ain't shit. Let's call it even across the board. Yeah, there is no excuses for it.
I mean, but they play these games with the numbers, like you just talked about the 98%. You know, it's in my book, and I did a whole like show on it, not a whole show recently, but I think we talked about this once in the show. But anyway, the whole black women being the most educated woman in America thing, where it was like, that's, they playing with numbers on y'all. Like the numbers they using when they make that argument are acceptance numbers and enrollment numbers for college, not completion numbers for how many of these people actually get a degree, right? So when you look at completion numbers, black women drop down that list. I believe they're like number 4 or 5 on that list. But they're certainly not number 1. But because they play these games with numbers, there's a clear problem there that I've been talking about for a while. There's a problem where you have not only the problem of them trying to turn them turning black men and black women against each other, that's a problem in and of itself, but specifically to this education number, if black women are the most likely group, or if black women are getting accepted and enrolled in the colleges at a higher rate than any other group of people in America, but they are not completing college at a higher rate than any other group in America, then there is something happening when black women get in college that needs to be addressed.
Uh-huh.
You know, but we can't have that discussion if you already think you're part of the most educated group in America, because when somebody comes to you and says, sis, no, you're not. You're getting in college at a higher rate than everybody else, but you're not finishing. Let's discuss why you're not finishing. You know, but you can't, even with the employment situations where you're talking about gender equality and equal pay, something that I agree. We talked about that. That should be equal pay. But let's be real about this. When black women are coming at black men about equal pay, white women make more money than black men.
But how you gonna come at black men about equal pay? You gotta come at white men about equal pay.
You gotta come at white people about equal pay, because white women are more likely to be in positions of leadership. They're more likely to be in that chair making hiring and firing decisions. And like I just said, they make more money than black men do. Black or Hispanic men do. They make more money than every man in America but Asian men. So let's be clear about that. Asian and white men, white women make more money than all of the rest of them. So even when we're having this conversation about gender equality, you know, it's another one of those things where they play with the numbers and they have us taking different sides of the fence. And now you have people where it's like, and we've talked about this before, where there are black women that feel a greater sense of loyalty to women in the sisterhood and white women than they feel to black men in the race. And I do feel like black men have a role that we play in that. We definitely got to do better in a lot of regards.
But you can't overlook the devastation white women have done to the black community and just call them allies because they got vaginas. Like, you got to stop.
That's where I was going. Like, but we also can't overlook the role of white supremacy, the role of racism, and the role that these white women have played in both of those systemic issues that plague the community. Like, you can't overlook that, like you said, because they got a penis and look at me as the equivalent to a white man, or because they got a vagina, and look at me as the equivalent to a white man because I got a penis. Nah, sis.
Right. Right. Yeah, because nobody's calling out white women for all the fucked up stuff they still do. Like white women probably have secret meetings around the country. All right, we're gonna call the police on as many black people as possible to try to get them killed or this or that. Like, they still out there doing that, even though the videos have gotten old, they still out there doing stuff like that to possibly try to get black people killed. Lying, cheating, deceiving. Even now, like, a lot of black men don't like the Democratic Party because they see what they're doing. A lot of men see the divide that the Democratic Party is playing in, further separating black men and black women. So if you think about it, why would Pam Keith say, if you voted for Donald Trump, you don't like black women? Why would she say that if they didn't connect like black loyalty and black women loyalty to the Democratic Party? Like, cause it's like basically this is you showing us that you love black women by voting this old white man in office. Mm-hmm. That's that bullshit. And then why would they go out of their way to pay attention to the small percentage of black men that voted the other way? If they wasn't purposely trying to further that divide within the black community, like, why would they go out their way to do stuff like that?
Yeah, I just and I definitely didn't intend and don't want to turn this into a black woman bashing session.
Well, it's not a black woman bashing. It's a Democratic Party bashing. Yeah, it's a political thing because the black community is being played.
I just want to, you know, like I said, I want to And that, because there are a lot of sisters out there that get it. We talk to them all the time that don't play these games. But when we see these narratives picking up, and this narrative is one that's picking up, this narrative that the election was close, it suggests that the election was close because black men were siding with Donald Trump.
Like, look at the numbers, dumbasses.
Come on. Is that what we doing?
Like, so you're going to tell me half the country, mostly whites and Hispanics, didn't vote for Trump? You're going to tell me that? So, because if you're going to make the argument that that the race was closed because of black men, that means that it's a whole number of black men somewhere that we didn't know that's out here voting. That matter of fact, it's a whole number of black men that exist in America that we had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like, stop that.
Yeah, and that's essentially what I'm saying right there. Let's stop this. And I really see this narrative. I really see this narrative picking up steam because it really started a couple election cycles ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, it really did. So now it's like, I don't like where this is going.
Nah.
I don't like where I see this going at all.
Nah. All right, so we think the Biden administration will give Cuba another chance, but we're gonna see how that works out. And we're gonna see what.
Yeah, I don't think nothing's gonna come from it though, if I'm being totally honest.
So, last part, Biden has his Lift Every Voice and Sing plan, whatever the name of it is. Biden has his plan, which is more in depth. Has more components and some of the same components as Ice Cube's plan.
Word.
Biden is in office moving forward. Biden administration have their own plan, plus the access to the Black Caucus, who has their plans, and other black groups who already have plans in place that have more, they have a better standing right now, but socially and politically with the Biden administration. Mm-hmm. But despite all that, with the plan, with their own plan in place and these other resources, do they give the contract of Black America a chance in addition to working these other plans?
I don't think so. I don't see where they have to. It's not like we're going to force them to.
And right.
again, it's not like there's anything in that plan. Well, I'm not going to say there isn't, because there are things in that plan that are kind of different than what everybody else has, although I think everybody else has things to touch on the exact same subjects. But
that's because there are differences, but there are similarities.
But at the end of the day, there ain't, who's going to force them to? At this point, it goes back to what you said earlier, the black community ain't really fucking with Cube right now in mass.
Right.
So where's the political force that's going to require that they talk, sit down and talk with Ice Cube? If they do, like I said, I feel like it'll be kind of one of those things to maybe try to shift the black male vote back to the Democratic Party. But I honestly, I don't see nothing coming. I think Cube need to redirect his energy somewhere else at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see it. It's sad the way it died, but I just think black community just so far away from Cube that you said something earlier. Even it, like, who would make them? Who's going to make somebody pay attention to it now? Because the people, if the people were behind it, the people could make them pay attention to it. Because I think at this point, because they have access to these other plans and they have access to the same people Cube have access to and more.
Right.
So it's, if we don't pay your plan attention, what you gonna do?
Yeah, I think that sums it up. Cause at the end of the day, you ain't gonna do nothing, cause you can't do nothing, cause ain't nobody backing you.
Right. And it's like I said, we both read both plans. We both read both plans and we both agree that Ice Cube's plan is, though it's a plan, but it's not a plan.
It's a wish list.
So yeah, I mean, but that's why I asked the question. The nature of the contract with Black America, the atmosphere that surrounds it, plus, man, we already got our own plan, and you ain't want to sit down with my vice president, even though it was some bullshit. The way we did it, but you ain't do that. So why would we even give you the time of day? Why would we even consider your contract? This is the same contract that you helped Donald Trump with this platinum plan with the narrative.
And I mean, how we know D.L. Hughley ain't have a plan when he came to the table?
Yeah, shit, he been on the radio this whole time. He ain't said nothing. He tell us everything else,
like Ice Cube did.
Nah, you talk every day, and you talking about Ice Cube every day. So you can't talk about him, and you probably talking about him moving in silence. You can't do that and then be quiet on what you're doing. Nope, you can't do that. Nope.
Yeah, I don't really but that's actually, to me, that's another red flag for the Democratic Party. Is the fact that they seem to really like meeting, not just them, because it's really everybody in the political establishment, but the Democrats seem to get brownie points for meeting with black celebrities. Whereas, and it's funny looking at it too, because the Republican, Trump got roasted for meeting with black celebrities. Like, Steve Harvey ain't our leader. How many times did we hear that? Kanye ain't our leader. Kim Kardashian, these are celebrities. But then the Democrats go and do the same shit
and get a pass. But it's what that's about, though. It's like, we like the people better than we like y'all, so.
Well, yeah, but it's funny, too, because It's funny the black community, because I talked about this in the show I dropped yesterday when, because one of the questions I got was about the 94 crime bill. And, you know, my views on that are a little bit different from the rest of the communities. But it's interesting that how selective we are about how we assign blame for something. Because when it comes to the 94 crime bill, we let the fucking Democrats have it. But we give the Republicans a pass, even though they voted for the shit, too. And in a lot of regards, that made the shit worse. But we allowed Donald Trump to say Joe Biden was there with the 94 crime bill. That wasn't Republicans. That was Democrats who did that. And it's like, how did we allow him to say that and then fall, and then go in our brains? Yeah, that is true. The Democrats did do the, as if the Republican Party had nothing to do with it. It's just real funny how we, how we selectively, like, process things and blame people for shit. So, anyways, now that Joe Biden is the president and Donald Trump can contest all he like and the Republican Party can throw all the temper tantrums they want, it ain't gonna matter, because at the end of the day, they all know, maybe Trump don't know, but the rest of them know that the man won fair and square. And if y'all keep on keeping on like you're keeping on, you're going to break the cultural norm that says that prior previous administrations don't get brought up on charges. Because that's a cultural norm as well. When the new administration comes in, they tend to pardon the previous administration for all the fucked up shit they did while they was in office. Y'all keep going with this path of destroying cultural norms. Y'all going to break one that's going to hurt. Now, I think Joe Biden is puss. He already talking about we need to heal and blah, blah, blah. So that means that the Democrats are going back to their traditional ass, punk ass, puss ass, fuck boy ass ways and not having a goddamn spine or a backbone. But you let one of them fucking young gunners that don't give a shit about nothing come up through the ranks and get some power. And you watch that political norm be broken. I would actually support that motherfucker. Let these administrations start getting put in jail after they finish their terms. Like, and that, because I honestly feel like that's what needs to start happening.
Right.
Like, Trump don't need to be pardoned. His ass need to go to trial.
Yeah.
And it need to be a message to Joe Biden. You do some fucked up shit. You go to trial after your term over too.
Well, I mean, it shouldn't be any exceptions. But I don't give a fuck what your position was, what your job was. It shouldn't be any exceptions if you've done some shit that's illegal. Your ass need to go to jail. If you're going to send somebody to jail for stealing a fucking bag of tater chips, you should send Donald Trump to jail and everybody else to jail for all the fuck shit they did. Let's keep it 100 across the board.
You just sound country as hell. My dude said
tater chips. But look here, but now that's idea. Reality is, like Amsterdam Rothschild said, if I control a nation's money supply, I care not who makes its laws.
Yeah.
To be part of the winning team, you can get away with doing shit, but you gotta have the right skin to get in though.
Hey, and that's what we trying to tell folk. Y'all need to listen, man. It's a lot to talk about with politics right now. But I don't, like I said in the show last night, I think Joe Biden winning is more beneficial than Trump winning. But I think we're just going to survive either way. Like, I don't feel like another 4 years of Trump was going to destroy us. It was going to hurt. I'm not going to front and say it wasn't going to hurt. It was going to hurt. But I feel like we would survive. But I definitely, Cube, as far as the show is concerned with him, and we're talking about this because we were having a discussion about whether or not we would continue to break down the Contract for Black America. And we basically telling y'all why we not going to do it, because it's no longer relevant. It don't serve a purpose no more, because 9 times out of 10, it's not going to be utilized.
Right.
It's probably dead in our estimation. It's dead.
Right. And so also, like, so this show right now, this show will put a cap or a comma. This would be the comma. Right. Cause we want to wait and see what happens, but right. we also don't want to be breaking down the contract that folk ain't going to use. So if we're going to use the contract, then we can pick it back up. that if not, then why continue to break down the contract? Yeah. Especially after everything that has happened, especially because we gave y'all all the reasons. Look how people are looking at him. So people looking at him like, bro, you sold us out. Even though we don't believe he did, but that's how people are looking at him.
Right.
So also the black, so going back through our points of why we're putting the cap on it for right now, we're going to pause it for right now. It's one, a good number of the black community decide that they not fucking with Ice Cube, Plies included. Remember, we have to name Plies because he's the most important part of this. So,
yeah, you caught me off guard with that one.
Hey, it's a little body shot. So the black community, decide we're not rocking with Ice Cube. Well, they're not rocking with Ice Cube. So the section of black community said, nah, what he did was some fuck shit. He talked to Trump, so we're not rocking with him. Two, the Joe Biden administration hasn't had great rapport with Ice Cube thus far. In trying to set up meetings and all the things that they've had, and especially what Cube is saying, the last time he said he sat down with somebody from the Joe Biden administration, they talked for 45 minutes, didn't even get to the black for the contract Black America. Another meeting was set up with DL Hughley, Snoop Dogg, and some other rappers and celebrities, Killer Mike and some folk. Ice Cube was like, man, fuck that. Like, it's a lose-lose situation. So the report isn't there. And then thirdly, you got the Lift Every Voice and Sing plan and the Black Caucus plan and all the other plans that already exist that are more in-depth and have a lot more action steps than Ice Cube's plan. So with all that being said, that's why we're putting the cap on this right now, because it seems pointless after everything I just said. It seems pointless to keep going along with it, hoping that people mess with it. We want to see people mess with it, then we'll pick it back up. So
yeah, and I'm gonna cap my point by saying, y'all stop acting like Joe Biden winning is a celebratory affair.
It's not. Black people dancing in the street like they think racism is over. You got people crying. You got Van Jones. Yeah, fuck you crying for? Fuck you crying for?
His mama told him to go get a switch.
For what?
Like, dude was legit crying. He was legit crying like he was walking to an ass whooping.
But I didn't understand what he was crying for.
Cause he was saying that I guess he was overcome with emotion. Cause he was saying, it's one of them days where, as a parent, you can tell your kids that character and honesty and all this other shit matters. And I was like looking at it like, no, the fuck you can't.
How? When the current president just showed you, the whole administration just showed you that.
What he's saying, because they lost. But again,
I'm they like, won.
Y'all losing sight of the fact that Donald Trump got over 70 million votes. Like, this motherfucker got a lot of fucking votes. And it was a time where all y'all was scared. It was looking real shaky, real shaky.
Well, I mean, he lost this election, but the fact that he won an election, talking about grabbing pussy.
And let's be real too, right? Like, if he doesn't get COVID, never mind how he handled COVID. If he doesn't get COVID, a lot of people are saying he doesn't lose. A lot of experts that study this shit are saying when Donald Trump got COVID, he took a dip. He took a dip in his points, his base. He took a hit because all of a sudden COVID became real to a lot of people that it wasn't real to before he got infected.
And they lost faith in him.
Right. So you can't say all this shit matters when we're talking about, if this dude doesn't get sick, he wins. Never mind all of the shit he said and done. What did Trump in was COVID. Not the racism, not the lies, not the cheating, not the mangling of traditions, customs, norms, not the mangling of laws, not the infidelity, not the immorality. None of that shit mattered. What did him in was catching a pandemic.
Go fix.
You can't tell me that being a good person matters in this society. You can't tell me that character matters, honesty, integrity, doing the right. So I was looking at him like, bro, you're a political analyst. You should not be making these statements. Your crying ass. The fuck? Like, it's one thing. Men can cry. I ain't got nothing against that. What the fuck were you crying for at that moment? What the
right.
fuck is happening?
Right. That's my thing. Like, what are you crying for? Like, what about this makes you feel like you should be shedding tears of joy?
And the same goes for all you other people. Like, when Barack Obama was elected, and people are crying like they were back in 2008 when Obama got elected.
Right, because this is I understand why people cry when Barack Obama
got elected. I got that.
This is not even close. It's not even close. Now, what are you all doing? Like, for real, like, what are you doing? Like, why are you crying over this? But, yeah, I don't know, man. So, it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen moving forward. But black people, I'm going to keep saying, do not get caught slipping. Don't be out here. And you know what's funny? It's all the posts that are like, hey, we back to normal racism now. So, it's funny the fact that, okay, so y'all did realize racism was happening. This was just the racism you was cool with.
Oh, yeah. We talk about that all the time, though, Joe. People don't want to end racism. They just don't want to have to deal with it. They don't want to have to see it. Like, racism is cool as long as I can pretend it don't exist.
Yeah.
And that's the black community. I ain't talking about the white people. I'm talking about the black people. Racism is cool as long as I ain't got to have that conversation with my kid because I'm isolated in a space to where any sort of racism that might seep in, I can tell my children it's something else.
I'm going to say this real quick, too. Some of y'all people need to stop acting like y'all don't know what world you live in. And if you can't handle the stuff that go with having interracial relationships and interracial kids, don't have them. And I say that because I remember hearing a story about this white lady who made interracial babies with a black dude. She got she has an interracial son, black son. He recognizes himself as black. She's taught him to, she basically is punishing him for her having the black son. So he can't wear hoodies. He can't walk around with his hands in his pockets. He can't do this. He can't do this. She gave him a whole list of instructions because now as a white woman who has a black son, now you're afraid of the world that your son live in. But you knew what kind of world you lived in because when your son was born, you was like, damn, I got to do these things. But now you're going overboard. And I just think it's crazy that she's basically limiting and punishing her son for her deciding to have an interracial child, an interracial relationship, rather than using all that energy and not restricting him, but using all that energy to go out to your fellow white people and help stop racism. Like, if you want to help, you can't help by restricting the things. Like, don't have interracial babies if you're going to try to restrict, especially the ones who claim black, who identify with blackness. Restricting them won't keep them alive. It's just helping you feel better at the time, but it won't keep them alive. Absolutely. What will keep them alive is you all fighting racism on a regular basis instead of like, hey, she told a man he can't wear no hoodies and walk around with his hands in his pockets. What? I'm like, I'm black. I'm a black dude. I walk around with my hoodie on and my hand in my pocket at the same time.
I agree like, with that, though.
You're like, right. Stop that. Like, stop. Like, be real about yourself, about the world that you live in, and use that energy to fight racism rather than restricting your children or your loved one because you now you have to worry about the symptoms of white supremacy and how it affects black people negatively. Mm-hmm. So get your mind right. Hey man, got any parting shots?
In your motherfucking face.
In your motherfucking face. Ladies, I'm single. That's my parting shot. So.
Yeah, he's single.
Hey man, freedomtrainradio.com. We out here. See y'all later. Peace to the Middle East.